fighting for America.
When is the administration going to tell the American people the truth about Benghazi?
Benghazi, Benghazi, Benghazi. Why aren't we talking about something else?
Democrats are all talk and no action.
Fighting for Idaho.
How about the A-10 platform? There's never been a question in my mind that it's going to go away. The question is, when?
We're always going to be ready when the governor calls us up and when the president calls on us to go overseas and take care of our nation's wars. We're going to do that too.
Fighting for you.
There's people have an attitude about attorneys already. I have a lot of friends who are attorneys, so my, you know, apologies ahead of time here to my friends who are attorneys out there listening.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Woo!
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning at 580 KIDO. We're joined by Michael Law, Corey Tanner, Parents for Advancing Education, talking about the CUNA levy. What's going on, gentlemen?
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having us in, Kevin.
So the levy was proposed, then it was shot down, now it's back again. What's up with that?
That's a good question. the people voted it down in March, and just 10 days later, the school board decided to put it back on the levy. We had a huge outcry, particularly from teachers and some other parents about it being shot down. They thought it would go over pretty easily, and it did not. And they really wanted it back on, so the board voted to put it back on.
Well, so what are you guys going to do here? What's going on with that?
So, you know, it's been interesting the last several weeks to reach out and listen to what people are saying. I, as a parent, a business owner, moved to CUNA in 2010, and it's interesting to reach out and, you know, dig into some of the reasoning behind what's going on and some of the feelings that are out there. I think one prevailing thought or feeling that that people have felt is that they were misled to begin with. So 2 years ago, the superintendent at the time was Jay Hummel, and he, the day after the levy passed, this levy that we're finishing passed, he said, "Now this is a 2-year levy, but this funding will last us 3 years." And so 19 months later, we're back at the ballots asking for more money. So there's a general feeling of mistrust of the district and how they're appropriating funds. There's just very real concern. How do you give somebody 3 years of cash and 19 months later say, "We're out, we need more"?
Yeah, and I just want to start off right at the beginning, because I am a school board member, but I am not in any means speaking for the board or even for the school district. I myself have seen a lot of the same problems, a lot of problems with prioritizing, making sure that the classroom is fully funded before we do anything else. That is the most important thing that we can be doing. And we are failing to do that. Some of the problems that I have seen, and it's kind of an accumulative 5 years. Over the course of 5 years, one of the claims that is made by the school district is that the state has cut back spending and shorted us about $9.4 million. However, if we include the way that the school district has been making up for that loss in funding in the form of supplemental levies and emergency levies and even a couple of years of federal stimulus money, we have not only made up that difference, but we are $1.1 million more than the claim of full funding, which is based on 2009-2010 school year. $1.1 million over 5 years, and still we are complaining about not having enough money.
Well, and then you've got the mayor who has joined the folks that want this that levy returned. It seems like double jeopardy. Now, we've had those folks on. They're going to come back again. We've had you guys on. We'll have you back and forth. But really, you know, when the mayor says that he wants this levy because it's good for business, You're a businessman. Tell us why the mayor is wrong.
Well, I don't know the mayor's reasoning, saying that it is good for business. I think that fiscal responsibility, I think that transparency, I think that accountability is good overall. They're good principles, not only within the largest business in CUNA, but also as we teach our kids sound principles. You know, I look at it, and I sat down with the superintendent for about 3.5 hours in her office, and described to her the fact that she runs the largest business by employees and by revenue effectively in the town. And so with that comes a lot of important responsibility. So for example, you can't run your business inappropriately and think that that's going to have this great halo effect on other businesses in the town. You know, another concern that has come up is you know, there was a budget submitted and approved back in November, and you look at the November budget numbers in expenditures versus the April expenditures, which is, you know, 5-6 months later, and they were already $1.7 million over in their expenditures. Now, district policies indicate that you have to be within a 3-5% threshold within that budget, and that's over 6%. So I think that I don't know the mayor's reasoning for saying that this is good for business. I don't think, you know, I agree with Russ Fulcher, who came out to a town hall meeting, and he said, listen, the answer to education is not more money. You can't just throw money at a problem and hope that it gets better. The answer to education is more responsibility and bringing education back to where it's supposed to be. So I don't know the mayor's you know, reasoning or arguing, saying that it is good for business that we pass a school levy. I think that responsibility and transparency and accountability are all good for business.
We go to the phones, and we go to Amy at 580-KIDO. Good morning, Amy.
Hi, good morning, Kevin. This is Amy. I'd like them to know that there were just not a few parents who wanted this rerun. There was 400-plus signatures and 300 attendees at the board meeting to redo the levy, first of all. The district does have transparency. You can see where everything is going. I have done my homework, and I have done my research. When he proposes to send business to CUNA, of course we need businesses in CUNA. The population has grown 5,000 by 5,000 people since I moved here in 2009. What does he expect us to do with the children that are in those schools at this time if this levy should fail? Is he going to come in and teach them?
So, I agree that the town has grown, that we have more kids. Obviously, we receive a per student funding for education. You know,
extremely low funding.
Yes, you're right. And once again, I return to the comment that money is not the answer to education. So let me give you an example. We are almost at the bottom of the barrel in funding per student funding for education. You're right about that. The state of Utah is even lower than the state of Idaho on a per student basis, and they score better in standardized tests than we do. So you cannot argue saying that more money will equate to higher test scores.
No, you cannot equate money to higher test scores, but you can equate money to better teachers, better supplies, better rooms to fill, and lower class sizes.
And my comment to you is not that it does take money to run an education program. I get that. I'm a business owner. I know that it takes funds to run an organization like that. What I'm saying is that a very clear message needs to be sent about how that money is spent. You know, you said that the district is very transparent, and I do take issue with that. I mean, let me just give you a small example. There are credit cards that the district has. Nobody has visibility into what those credit cards are spent on. We simply pay the balance off. And that you can go on to expense reports. You can go on and see. Not even the board has access. Not even the school board has access to see what those credit cards pay for.
Okay. I'm not disputing that this room for a correction. What I'm disputing with you is that this levy should fail. What do you propose to do with those children who have grown tremendously in this district?
I believe that they will continue to grow. I believe that the heroes of this system are the school teachers. They're the ones who make the magic happen in the classroom. And what I am most concerned about is the superintendent's use of fear tactics to drive this message that if the levy doesn't pass, that teachers will get fired, classrooms will be shut down, kids will get dumber. All of the fear-mongering that goes on is irresponsible. I don't think that's true. I just don't think that's true.
No fear tactics on my part. I have done my homework. There has been no fear tactics. I have a young son. He understands a little bit, but I will not make him be fearful of what's going to happen if this does not pass. I don't know any parent in this community that I have worked with that would scare their child to that extent. They're going to make them aware of what possibly could happen, but they're not scaring them.
Well, let me share with you an example. Let me share with you an example. A mother came to me, and her son went to school. He came home, and he said, "Mom, we have to pass this levy." And she said, "Okay, why?" And he said, "Because my music teacher said that if we don't, they're going to cut this program, they're going to cut art." And he's an elementary kid. He's an elementary school kid.
I get that. That's my biggest concern.
And that's the proselytizing that happens within the classroom that should not happen. That's not okay.
I agree with you there, and I have not seen any of that. So this may be one particular situation.
And that's okay. I've heard dozens of experiences.
Remember, children don't come home with the whole truth at times.
You're right, but over and over and over again. I'm the one who hears it. You may not hear it, but I do hear it.
Okay.
All right, Amy. Thank you. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So this is a very emotional issue, Michael.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, this is symptomatic of not only Acuna, but we've seen it in Meridian. We've seen the battle for levies going on and on throughout it. I mean, Meridian, their levy failed the first time. They passed it. Then a couple years later, they passed it again. Are you guys fighting an unwinnable battle?
Oh, absolutely not. In fact, we have proven that just by the fact that we were able to get the word out enough that the levy failed last time. You know, if we're talking about emotions and about those types of things that scare people, how about this? You know, we have 44% of our students, and this is the ones that we know about, 44% of our students on free and reduced lunch, and we're asking for... Well,
that's a federal program, though, right?
Yes, it is, but what it shows is that our community is already struggling to provide for the basic needs of our kids. And we have a large farming... I mean, we're a large farming community as well. And those farmers have no way of exempting enough off that they're not going to be seriously hit with the this levy and have to pay a lot of money towards this school levy. And, you know, 44% of our kids being on free and reduced lunch, those families are already struggling, and we're asking them to pay more and more and more.
Well, those folks might not be owning land. They might be renting, but that's speculation on my part, sir.
And that may be the case, but regardless, even if you're renting,
everybody's
still paying.
Right. More coming up next, plus your phone calls talking about the CUNA levy. Not really just the CUNA levy, but the battle for how to fund education here in the Gemstone.
Your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
In the morning, we're talking to Corey Tanner, Michael Law, Parents for Advancing Education, talking about the CUNA levy and that vote coming up. However, on the other hand, it's more emblematic of what's going on throughout the state and really throughout the country, funding education. We're seeking your solutions. We go to the phones, and we go to Jeff in Boise at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Great.
So I've been listening to your show this morning, and it seems to me that these boards, these committees, they can't be entrusted with the money that's given to them. They've grossly spent it. So I have the perfect answer for their problem. You have all of these parents screaming about good education for their kids, and where's the money? Well, these people every year, they write their children off, and they get a big tax return for their kids. See if they're willing to donate that tax return. I don't understand why guys like me who are single, who are struggling like everybody else, why my property taxes have to go up to fund a school board. If they can't manage their money, then there's your perfect answer. There's your money. Let the parents donate some of their tax return to fund their kids' schooling. That solves your problem right there. But, you know, if that answer's out of the question, you obviously can't keep giving the school board more money. If they've wasted it once before, they'll waste it again. So there is a perfect answer for their problem. And that's pretty much all I got to say about the matter.
Well, I thank you for that. In fact, that sounds a lot like a suggestion that my wife made, which was that, you know, there's nothing stopping anybody from donating any money that they want to, including those that are for the levy. Even if this levy doesn't pass, they can still figure out how much they would have paid and pay it to the district anyway. And I'm sure, I can guarantee that the school district will happily receive those funds.
You know, let me just weigh in on that comment. I agree with some mismanagement. I agree with some irresponsibility that happens within school districts, and certainly that is the case in CUNA, and I think that we can do a lot better. I think that when we look at it, I also look at it, though, as a businessman, and I have to take a step back and say that regardless, now I do have a 7-year-old, and so, you know, I've got a son who is just beginning his educational journey, and even outside of that, I have to step back, and as a business owner, I have to say, I want an educated workforce. I want an educated society, educated neighbors, citizens, and so where I may not necessarily have all the kids that are in the district come from my family, and therefore I should pay for it. I realize this sounds like a contrarian, you know, argument, but there is value in all sharing in bearing that burden. The extent to which we do that, I think, is at question here.
All right, quickly to Craig in Boise at 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. Hello, Craig.
Good morning, Kevin. I live in the Boise School District, and we had this $15 million bond passed several years ago, and there was a lot of proselytizing, even in orchestra concerts. And the one thing I never hear about, and that I keep hearing, we need more money, we need more money. And if you go into schools, you have to ask yourself, who's auditing anything? Who's going around saying, gee, what do we need, and where can we save costs to put the money into the classrooms? I never hear that. All I hear is we need more money, or all our children are going to be stupid and inbred, and we're not going to be able to get anything, and all the old people are going to die because the young kids are not going to get jobs. And there's so much fear-mongering that I really never hear anybody seriously talking about the boring details of auditing.
Yeah.
That never happens, Kevin. It never happens. All it is this emotional appeal. It's for the children. It's not said, but it's implied, and it's happening for years and years. And honestly, I don't want to give the schools anything. I don't want to give government any money until they start paying attention to what they're doing and auditing their own procedures.
Greg, great point. Thank you for the call.
I can tell you that we do have audits, but the audits basically tell us that we have taken in this amount of money, and we have spent this amount of money, and we are not in jeopardy of going, you know, spending too much money, that sort of thing. But as far as the justification, the academic justification of how the money is being spent, we certainly do not have that. We definitely need to have more justification of where the money is being spent.
We go to Doug in CUNA at 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. Hello, Doug.
Good morning. Hey, I lived in CUNA most of my life. you know, grew up there, went to schools there, and I spent most of my whole life in the Treasure Valley. And anytime you hear the schools start saying, oh, we, you know, we're going to have budget shortfalls, or, you know, we're not bringing in enough money, we're going to have to start laying off teachers, or we're going to have to start laying off janitors or bus drivers, you never hear them say that we're going to start laying off administrators. That'll never happen. And when I was, when my kids were in school, we helped start the charter school out in CUNA. And the charter school, they had to account for every penny that they spent and how it was spent. And the larger public schools, maybe they need to go back to that and, you know, have fewer administrators and start accounting for every penny that they spend and why they're spending it. Not just keep coming back saying, oh, well, we need more money, we need more money, we need more money.
Now, Doug, great point. Thank you for the call. Gentlemen, to be continued, we appreciate it. Anything you would like to share to the listening audience here?
You know, I just would, just in response to Doug, I would just say, you know, that goes back to sort of the fear tactics that have taken place in CUNA. I sat down and spoke at length about this with the superintendent, Wendy Johnson. And, you know, she, in a separate conversation, was asked point blank, why do you use manipulating fear tactics towards your organization? And her response was, well, what else am I supposed to do? Well, I can think of a lot of things that you could do instead of instill fear in everyone. You could lead responsibly. You know, you could lead everybody and tell everybody that we need to make important, decisive decisions, that we can be responsible with the funds that are entrusted to us currently, that we can be laser focused in what education is all about. I think that education has grown significantly in its purpose. You know, we find education that now, you know, they're responsible to feed our kids, clothe our kids, entertain our kids, babysit our kids, in addition to educate our kids. And I don't think that education needs to cover all of those bases. I think that we need to get return to the purpose of education at its core, and in so doing, I think that we can. I think that there is a lot of waste that goes on. There's a lot of opportunity. And in this entire argument, I have not heard of one suggestion from the district office of ways that we can be more effective.
All right. To be continued, you're listening to 580 KIDO.
Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men.
I'm Andy KIDO. Welcome to Monday. Kevin Miller, Dave Burnett, as we start your day with the Manly Man segment. Dave, how was your weekend?
You know, it was good. It started out, Friday I was at a district track meet. Went and enjoyed that on Friday evening. Saturday morning, Susan G. Coleman Race for the Cure, which it was wet. It was windy. We had a couple of our radio station tents blow away. It was a mess. And then right at 9 when the race started, the sun came out, the birds were chirping, and it was gorgeous on Saturday morning at 9. Prior to that, very wet. Did a little bit of yard work. We did a little bit of Mother's Day as we were celebrating Mother's Day on Sunday. The youngest daughter took mother. Oldest daughter is busy with other things going on, but she visited Saturday. But went out for a brunch, nice brunch on Sunday morning. We came back, did a little yard work. How's that? Was that exciting? Was that the update you were looking for?
It was very thorough, I'll tell you that.
Well, you asked, I delivered.
True, true. Also over the weekend, Michael Stam, whatever his name is, got drafted by the St. Louis Rams.
Yep.
This is a great moment in American history, they tell us.
Because
complete
of what?
Complete with Michael Sam getting a kiss from his boyfriend and getting replayed again and again and again on television. And this is the end of homophobia in the country today, and isn't it all so wonderful? And yet you look at Michael Sam, and the reason why he was a seventh-round draft pick is most NFL experts, and we do take a look at this at the NFL, the KIDO hot list, Kevin Miller hot list. Most NFL experts think that he's not good enough to play in the NFL. He runs a 4.9, a 5.40.
Yeah, not very fast.
Right, not very fast, not very big. And according to Bill Polian, all the guy can do is blitz. And in the NFL, you've got to do more than that. So, on one hand, you see the politically correct sports media celebrating, promoting Mr. Sam and his lifestyle. On the other hand, you wonder how long he'll last and whether or not they'll keep him just to be politically correct.
I think at this point, I mean, the difficult thing is if you speak, especially if you're a national talk show host, if you speak against him as a football player, you get labeled, you get attacked, you get, you know, you get people coming at you. So that's a difficult thing to do. I mean, the Rams have, you know, they've drafted a guy that probably was drafted about where he should be. Give him a shot. If he makes it, he makes it. If he doesn't, he doesn't. The political fallout, especially with the people being on the attack the way they are in this day and age, you know, it's going to be tough for the Rams. I mean, should have been tough for people the way they attacked Tim Tebow, being a Christian, because he was blasted for his faith more than Michael Sam's is for being openly gay. But you didn't see people, you know, you didn't see teams blasted for Tim Tebow and his faith.
Well, yeah, again, it's a sticky situation, and you really wonder how this plays out here in the Treasure Valley. A lot of people will be talking about it. And again, those people that listen to those national shows, people will be saying, you know, they'll be reciting the politically correct talking points. I just, again, and I keep harping on this, the lack of critical thinking skills, and really, do we really need to see, you know, and Matt Drudge had it perfectly. Do we really need to see Mike kissing his boyfriend again and again and again?
You know, I suppose because in some people's world, it's big news. Okay, that's good. Fine. I didn't see Clowney kissing his girlfriend over and over again and again. So I don't really know why I need to see the other over and over again.
Right. Well, how much of it is reporting and how much of it is promoting?
Well, it's mostly promoting.
Yeah. And, you know, you're going to have, and here's a guy that was marginal at best. Yes, the SEC Defensive Player of the Year, but who knows? You know, all I could say is if the guy had run had been Clowney, he would have been up there, and maybe the gay thing backfired on him. See, I thought, you know, the guy never would have been on the cover of Sports Illustrated, never would have gotten these interviews unless he outed himself. And maybe, you know, and again, I don't think there's homophobia in this country because everybody's afraid to be labeled, obviously. But on the other hand, I don't think that the NFL people want the circus. They don't want, you know, the Glad Sam, Bam, whatever, to come to town.
Well, I know Charles Leno of Boise State drafted seventh by the Chicago Bears, and I didn't see them doing anything for him.
Well, and here's the other thing. Then you have Sam talking about, I'm going to get 30 sacks, and you know, whatever. We wish the young man well, but, you know, good luck on that. And again, just like the election of the president, Dave, when it was supposed to end racism, this might just accelerate it. This might, you know, if he gets cut, is it because he's a bad player or because he's gay?
Let me ask you this, and this on the Manly Man segment.
Yes.
This guy takes the football field. How many people are you going to think are going to be looking for his head? Honestly. That's going to be looking to take a good shot at him just because.
And I don't even think it has to do with him being gay. I think that just because he's a high-profile rookie, a seventh-rounder that's on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
And one that now kind of has a big mouth. I didn't see anybody else coming out saying, if the game was today, I'd get 30 sacks on him. I didn't see any other rookies saying that. I didn't see Clowney saying that.
No.
I mean, you go out talking like that, the veterans, they're gonna have your number. I'm sorry. You come out talking the smack he was talking, they'll give it to you.
Yeah, that's...
But now, if you give him the smack, are you going to be criticized that you're attacking him? You know, you put an extra hard hit on him because of his lifestyle? At what point does it end? At what point do you just put on the gear and you're playing football?
At what point do you... And remember, the locker room is not politically correct.
No, it's not.
So if somebody labels him a certain name, does he go tell Robin Roberts?
They called me a name.
Yeah, we get called names every day, buddy. Welcome to America.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. I seem to remember a guy who used to play line for the Miami Dolphins that's unemployed because he was labeled.
I've got a question for you.
Sure.
At 580KIDO. You know, our thoughts and prayers go out to everyone that is being held against their will. And this Nigerian thing going on. And I think that it really shows you a lack of communication in the civilized world versus the anything girl goes world in that country. Where we have the First Lady, hashtag bring our girls back. The President of the United States stating, I'm the most powerful man, paraphrasing here. I'm the most powerful man in the world, and I'm trying to do everything I can to get those girls back. It's horrible. And then you have the guy on there who's saying, ha ha, I'm going to turn them all into Muslims. Ha ha. And then you have the fact that Hillary Clinton had a chance to label that group a terrorist group for many, many years and didn't. And the people are going, so we got 2 million hits on Twitter. That guy doesn't care. And the fact that we're not going to do anything about it, and if we did, we'd have to do it all over the world because slavery does exist. It exists in this country. Sex slavery and the like. Heck, I think Channel 7 did an expose on it. If Channel 7 did it, it must be true. However, back to the point here at 580KIDO, the social media pressure. If you're in a jungle and you've got an AK-47, tweet, who cares? Just saying. I think social media has its limits at the barrel point of an AK-47.
Yeah. This is a very difficult, tragic story. And to me, I mean, see, to me, this is where you go ahead and send them some special ops. And maybe we say we have not. But to me, this is where you're going to get it. But the problem is, I don't know that the president or the government of Nigeria is really cooperating that much.
He wears a fedora. How serious can you take a president who wears sunglasses and a fedora?
Well, I think I've seen our president in a picture. Oh, no, wait, that was when he was younger. Never mind.
Hey, now.
Yeah, I think that was when he was younger.
I'm just saying. I just go back to this Nigerian thing, and we need to bring the girls back. And so on Fox News over the weekend, they're going back and forth, and the dude that was the ambassador under Bush said, I think realistically we'll try and get some of them back because they're dispersed now throughout those African countries.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
Of course, nobody's condemning the folks over there for allowing it to happen. No one's condemning the Nigerian government for allowing it to happen. But we've got the First Lady. Bring our girls back.
Yeah, you know, I have to admit, I mean, they sat down, and while she didn't call them, you know, terrorists or get after them, Hillary Clinton was much more diplomatic the way she dealt with it as opposed to our First Lady with her little sign with her hashtag. You know, it's like, wow. I guess the whole social media thing, I don't know that that's the appropriate time to be using it.
Well, but everybody's going, we're making a difference. The guy is making videos from the jungle laughing at us.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I'll say this, that when you have a picture of Michael Sam kissing a guy or two women kissing each other like Ellen DeGeneres or whatever, I'm telling you, the Muslim world, they don't like that. They are not down with that stuff. And they don't like us, because a lot of us are Christians, but you start talking about, you know, in their terms, immorality and everything else, and how we treat women, it's a different world, a different world. We're not, unless we're going to subject ourselves to Sharia law, which I guess it's happening in some places, we just continue to antagonize them.
Well, I guess the thing that concerns me, again, and there's so much hubbub, there's so much fuss over, you know, gay marriage, over all this, over Michael Sam. It always bothers me when we're forced to look at the right hand. What's the left hand doing? What's the left hand doing? And sometimes I think there are certain liberties being taken from all of us that we're not looking at that hand. We're busy looking at the right hand, what the media is holding out there going, oh, look at this. Something sparkly to complain about, to fight about.
Well, and here's another one. You're going to love this one here. What the heck? Maybe you're not going to love this one. We'll have to get back to that. Technical difficulties abound here today.
Yes, they are.
No, wait a minute. Oh, that's an ad running on something. Hold on there. I've got 27 screens up here. 580K idea. Okay, here we go. That's enough out of you, Sweet William.
I'm a good member who made a mistake, and I'm apologizing, and I'm asking for forgiveness. Am I entitled to one mistake? Am I, after 35 years? I mean, I love my league. I love my partners. Am I entitled to one mistake? It's a terrible mistake, and I'll never do it again.
I'll never do it again. By the way, Magic Johnson at the game, he said he wasn't ever going to come again. It comes down to forgiveness. Do you forgive? Aren't we supposed to forgive? We forgave Bill Clinton. Hey.
Hmm. Very, you know what? That's very sad.
But I
That's just sad on a number of levels.
What scares me is, quite frankly, no one has decided to prosecute this person for illegally taping his phone calls.
No. No, that won't take place. No, that is just sad and pathetic on a number of levels.
And everybody's, everybody's fired up about it.
You think I'm a racist? You think I have anything in the world but love for everybody? You don't think that. You know I'm not a racist.
By the way, Floyd Mayweather said, as we talked about earlier, she's always been good to me. If he's been good to Floyd, I'm down with that.
Yeah, you know, it just, well, again, there's a witch hunt going on. The guy said some, the old man said some, ooh, maybe I shouldn't say old. That's
the
wrong.
Old man, I love it.
You know.
The old man. I used to work with somebody, he goes, you tell the old man to go back to work. I go, but the old man doesn't want to work. He goes, you tell him to go back to work. Tell the old man now.
Yeah, he said some stupid things. They're making him pay for it, and they're going to make him pay for it. It's as much political, it's that whole agenda thing.
But they can't, see, here's the fascinating thing. Donald Sterling's worth $1.9 billion, and Michael Wilbon's going, well, there's 29 billionaires versus... It doesn't matter. After a certain level, all that money equates out, and he's not going to... And I don't think that he should be forced to sell his team. I think that that's a case for the courts. I don't think that because you say something in a private conversation that should cost you something, because gosh knows what I've said in my private conversations. What about you?
Mine have been spotless, except this. Kevin, your traffic now. As you're coming out of Canyon County, into Ada County, we're looking good out there this morning. No major problems or accidents to get in your way. Surface streets are running fine as well. Make sure you buckle up. Watch your speeds in that Meridian construction zone. There are a lot of people trying to speed through there, so that's not a good thing. Well, St. Alphonsus Heart Care reminds you, if you have a family history of heart disease and you're over the age of 55, you may be at risk for a heart attack. For an appointment, call 367-BEAT today. Treasure Valley forecast from the Channel 7 First Alert Weather Center for today. Going to be looking at looking at sunshine today. High temperature should reach near 60 and a little bit breezy. I guess a closed circuit message here because we're having computer issues. Ray, do I need to start the next stop set?
Yes.
I do? I can do that.
All right. Go ahead then.
Hang on. Let me get this all cleaned up.
You're not
here.
Ready to go? Where's
well, no,
the
I've got to clean up the log here. I'm telling you. It's all very difficult. 553 at KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. Kay Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436. Kevin at KIDOAM.com. A lot going on today. Coming up, there's some controversy going on in California concerning Sharia law. We'll talk about that with an expert. In addition to that, we will talk with our good friend Big Ed Beckley when it looked like it was over for Big Ed and his jump over the Snake River. It is on. We'll talk a little bit about that with Big Ed Beckley. And remember, Mike Sam gets kissed. And he gets drafted. Which one was he looking forward to? And Brian Smith, exclusively from his big debate last night with Congressman Simpson. And I don't know how many of you had a chance to check that out. I watched a little of it. I have to admit I was torn between the congressional debate, which got a little heated, I think, and Game of Thrones. It could, Tyrion on trial or Mike Simpson. Mike Simpson versus Brian Smith. So we're looking forward to that and looking forward to getting your thoughts. We're a little over a week away from the primary, By the way, today is your last day. I think today and tomorrow your last days to vote for us for best radio personality in the Treasure Valley, Section 13. So we would love for you to do that. Just go to the Statesman down there on the lower left. I know it's a pain, but we really appreciate it. And would really, really help us out here at 580KIDO. Section 13, Kevin Miller for Best Radio Personality. The only benefit I get out of it is I can go to folks here in the building, and we can go to clients and say, see, we matter. And we do. We just need to prove it. So please help us. Time for traffic now. 5:59, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Coming up next, Fox News on the radio. Then we'll hear from a young lady who's a little upset about the Sharia law. And then we'll talk to Big Ed. All that before 6:30, 580KIDO. Good morning.
Serving Meridian.